But first, Crimea says it wants to break from Ukraine and join Russia. The Crimean parliament voted to join the Russian Federation, and the parliament set a date for a national referendum, or at least a territorial referendum, to ask its people, 60% of whom are Russians, if they want to be led by Moscow or Kiev. The EU is calling for a diplomatic end to this crisis, urging Russia and Ukraine to speak directly, something Secretary of State John Kerry was unable to accomplish during his visit to Kiev this week, the Ukrainian capital. There are new sanctions from the White House against people in Ukraine with assets in the West who have, in the view of the White House, threatened Ukraine. But the voices of outrage and distrust of Russia and Vladimir Putin are back out in force on Capitol Hill, led by Senator John McCain, who says Ukraine can simply say goodbye to Crimea at this point and hello to the aggressive Vladimir Putin. McCain says he always knew was there.
No, I don't think he's going to leave Crimea. I wish that I could tell you that he is.
There's a long history of distrusting the Russians on Capitol Hill, and John McCain has in the past few days dusted off the Cold War rhetoric he hasn't used in years.
And I, from time to time, have been ridiculed by Obama and others because of my clear understanding of Mr. Putin and what he is about. In fact, Mitt Romney was schooled by President Obama. The Cold War has been over for 20 years. Do you think that Putin believes that the Cold War has been over for 20 years? Of course not. But Mr. Obama does, so therefore we can have friendly and good relations. Tell Vladimir, he says to Medvedev, that when I'm reelected, I can be more flexible. What does that mean?
John McCain referring to the 2012 campaign when President Obama skewered Mitt Romney for saying during the campaign that Russia was the most serious threat in the world. Well, what would he say now? For more on the new I Told You So politics on Capitol Hill, we return to Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick. Todd, welcome back.
Hi, John.
That was you questioning John McCain there. This is fascinating because no one has ever been punished on Capitol Hill for distrusting the Russians. This goes way back to the 1950s, but we're seeing a new resurgence today.
Yeah, and there's no doubt that John McCain, you could hear it in his voice. He's really mad about it, personally. He's mad at President Obama for misreading Putin, even misreading Al-Qaeda, misreading the world. And he's mad that Mitt Romney got criticized for saying watch out for the Russians. He's mad that he said watch out for Ukraine in 2008 and he got ridiculed for it. Listen to McCain here. We pulled some tape from the 2008 campaign, McCain versus Obama. Listen.
Long ago, I warned about Vladimir Putin. I said I looked into his eyes and saw three letters, a K, a G, and a B. He has surrounded himself with former KGB apparatchiks. He has gradually repressed most of the liberties that we would expect for nations to observe, and he has exhibited most aggressive behavior, obviously in Georgia. Said before, watch Ukraine. Ukraine right now is in the sights of Vladimir Putin, those that want to reassemble the old Soviet Union.
Kind of chilling to listen to that. Who besides McCain is on this bandwagon all of a sudden?
Well, his friend Lindsey Graham, of course, you can imagine. Even Hillary Clinton to an extent. Let me play you a cut from Lindsey Graham, who I got to in the hallway yesterday and said, "What do you? Are you still a cold warrior?" And he turned to me and he said, "I've had it. I've had it with Obama. I've had it with the way he approached Egypt. I've had it with Ukraine. I've had it with Al-Qaeda. I've just had it." And here's what he said about Obama and Crimea.
One thing to get hit by a high-speed train, this is a slow-moving truck. You could see Putin's ambitions play out. You know, after they invade Georgia in August 2008, the very first thing the Obama administration does is hit a reset button. They don't talk about, you know, what you did in Georgia was wrong. Don't do that again. I think we've misread the times in which we live.
Is this a consistent policy among these folks, or are they sort of reaching for something? Because, you know, the anti-communist, let's coexist with Russia tensions go way back through the Cold War. And indeed, Reagan and Gerald R. Ford were all over this tension. Reagan, of course, on the side of distrusting the Russians. Gerald R. Ford on the side of wanting detente and coexistence with the Russians.
John, that's true, except a lot of this went into the background, of course, since 2001 and September 11th. We've really had our eyes on other things in terms of foreign policy, but a lot of this sort of old Cold War tension, hawks versus detente, has come back since Syria, since last summer, since McCain and Graham and other hawks believe that Obama stupidly trusted Putin and made missteps in terms of Syria, and saying right off the bat that we weren't going to attack Syria or wouldn't intervene there. So a lot of this kind of came back from last summer. Now, I also do want to point out, however, that Democrats, when you sort of resurrect the Cold War rhetoric that we've been playing, you know, I asked Harry Reid about this yesterday. They just like to turn around and shift the "I told you so." They say, "Oh, really? I remember President George W. Bush saying he looked into Vladimir Putin's eyes and saw a man that he could really trust and really get along with. I don't remember George W. Bush going nuts when Putin invaded Georgia and South Ossetia in 2008 when he was still president." So the "I told you so" goes back the other way as President Obama's allies try to defend him here.
Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks so much. Fascinating stuff, Todd.
You bet.
Joining us now, Michael Hirsch, chief correspondent for the National Journal. Michael, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So Todd makes a great point there. You know, George W. Bush used to call Putin Pootie. He's a man I can trust. We really had two solid administrations now of a sense of detente, you know, 21st century detente with Russia. Is that all going away?
Well, no, it's not all going away. I believe it was Pootie Poot.
Yeah, Bush exactly. Used to call.
No, but I think it's fair criticism of both Democratic and Republican presidents, both Obama and George W. Bush, that there has been a certain amount of naivete or perhaps just wishful thinking about Putin and his designs. But at the same time, I think it's important not to overdraw the comparison to the Cold War. This is not an ideological struggle here. If anything, it's something of a geopolitical struggle in which the Russian president and conservatives around him in the Kremlin, you know, are reacting to 20 years of a sort of eastward incursion by NATO, by the EU, by the West, where one country after another that used to be part of the Warsaw Pact, part of the old Soviet sphere, has become westernized. And, you know, what's happened here to a degree is that, you know, Crimea and Ukraine is sort of Russia's red line here. It is a place that historically was part of Russia. So I think we need to, you know, lend a little understanding here. You know, this is not Adolf Hitler. This is not Czechoslovakia in 1938 with the ultimate designs on occupation and invasion of the entire continent.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, yeah. Because the Sudetenland was explicitly referenced in an op-ed in the New York Times this week. And I heard actually this story that an academic from Yale pitched another comparison with Czechoslovakia a couple of weeks ago, and the Times said, no, it's ridiculous. But all of a sudden, now it's not ridiculous. You say it is ridiculous.
Well, I mean, you've got Hillary Clinton out there, the former Secretary of State, making that comparison very controversially, I should say. And I do think it's overdrawn because despite the, you know, superficial similarities, Putin is not Hitler. There's no evidence that he has designs on, you know, military expansion. But there
although
is
ask a Chechenian whether he's Hitler or not. Again, I don't want to overstate this, but go to Chechnya and ask what they think of Putin.
Yeah. Yeah, but getting back to this issue of who's been right, I mean, clearly someone like McCain, Mitt Romney in the 2012 campaign were more realistically grounded, perhaps, in their skepticism about being able to work with Putin. But at the same time, an American president has to work with the Russians. I mean, you know, frankly, if the nuclear negotiations over Iran are to succeed, we need Russia's cooperation. So, you know, once you're in office, once you become president, you're sort of forced to work with them in the same way we're forced to work with China.
And the Russians, of course, are much more entangled with the West now as well. So there's actually more leverage than there might have been during the Cold War. Russia being a part of the G8, Russia being a part of this sort of international economy. So it sounds like the takeaway from you, Michael Hirsch, is that at the very least, one of these administrations should have understood that at a certain point, the Russians were going to say enough on this moving into the Western sphere of former Soviet satellites.
Yeah, I mean, Henry Kissinger, in an op-ed today in the Washington Post, notes that, you know, he and others in the Republican Party have been against the idea of allowing Ukraine or inviting Ukraine into NATO because it's a provocative action. And I think that that's a reasonable point to make, you know, starting with Bill Clinton when Poland, then Czechoslovakia, and Hungary were welcomed into NATO. You know, there have been a series of provocations. That's not to excuse what Putin did, and it's certainly not to say that there shouldn't be some repercussions. I mean, I think there needs to be a sharp response to this. But let's try to understand it historically.
Michael Hirsch, chief correspondent for the National Journal. Thanks so much.
Thank you.